Six music.
BBC Radio, Six Music Documentaries.
I'm Matt Everett, and welcome to The First Time here on Six Music. This is the series where we meet some of the most influential and best-loved musicians around and look at the seminal first musical moments that shape their lives and their careers. This week's guest is responsible for some of the greatest reggae tracks of all time and stands shoulder to shoulder with the biggest stars of the genre to ever emerge from Jamaica, a country where he's had an incredible 31 number one singles. Even before this, though, his band were key players in the ska scene, helping it evolve through rocksteady into reggae. And in fact, my guest this week has a pretty valid claim to actually coining the term reggae in relation to music. He's also a hugely charismatic performer with real soul. He's been known by more than a few as the Otis Redding of reggae. The Rolling Stones, Bonnie Raitt and Willie Nelson have all paid tribute over the years, and he continues to play electric live shows to this very day. My guest on The First Time this week is, from Toots and the Maytals, Toots Hibbert.
I said, you need what I've got here.
Here, Toots talks about falling in love with gospel music as a child, the moment he first realised he could sing, and his adventures after moving to Kingston as a teenager in the early 60s, where he formed the Maytals. We discuss the racism he experienced when he first came to the UK, christening the word reggae, and his incredible run of hits like Pressure Drop, Sweet and Dandy, and 5446, That's My Number, which is inspired by his time in jail. And we talk about his future plans. He's not going anywhere. But I started by asking Toots, as I do with all my guests, when was the first time he was aware of music?
The church is the foundation of my music. And then I listened to the radio, and that's how it began.
What was the church like? Tell me.
it's people who sing and clap hands and praise God, you know. It's a clap and church.
clap and church.
It's just like, it's the gospel, you know. People feel happy.
Yeah, because gospel is very important to you. Yeah.
People who go to church, they love to hear my songs. Yeah. It's not really vulgar, it's just natural.
When did you first realize you could sing? Was there a moment you were like,
yeah, when I go to school, I have to sing before class. Sing in the morning. And teacher said, yeah, you have the best voice. And give me good encouragement. So one day when I grow big, I'll be good. I'll have a good voice. I used to listen to the radio, Radio Fusion, and I hear my Yellow Jacks.
I'm on my way.
Holiday from school, I take my guitar to Kingston, my little guitar of four strings, and I meet some great musician in Kingston, because I'm from the country, Maypen, Clarendon. So before I go to Kingston, I created my little guitar, like a ukulele, four string guitar, and I fix it up and get sound out of it and try to, you know, play like what I heard on the radio. Then I meet some great musician in Kingston. I met Scatterlite musicians them, and I meet everybody. We'll be right back. But I have to go back to the country because I was on holiday, so I have to go back to the country. And then I holiday again, I go back to Kingston.
Backwards and forwards.
Yeah, back and forwards. It was cool.
What was the first song that you learned to play on that little guitar?
I can't remember. It's a song about Rosemary, you know, and I don't remember. All I remember is Rosemary. And then people always told me, yeah, man, I like that song, you know. It's a lot of idea I have. I mean, I sing it, people love it. Yeah. Always, yeah.
So what about the first performance, kind of as the Maytals?
Oh, well, Maytals is when I go back to Kingston and look for my brother, and I spent some time in Kingston doing barbering, trying to cut hair and everything, and I used to do the boxing too. Yeah. And then I met Raleigh Gordon and Jerry Matthias, my two friends, and they are much bigger guys, older than me, and when I was at the barber shop, they passed in and hear me singing with my little guitar, and the man that owned the barber shop, he likes me and said, I will finish teach you how to cut hair. And so whenever I'm not cutting hair, when nobody's in the barber shop, I play my little guitar, and a lot of people just come in. They love to hear me sing, so they come in and the boss for the barbershop get work to do. He just started cut hair. and when that done, and later on, I sing again, and people come in to cut their hair again. So it was a lot of fun, you know?
Yeah. We got to talk about Bam Bam. I mean, that's...
Oh, that's when I'm a big guy. Bam Bam is when I still in Kingston. Actually leave from country to Kingston and go to Trenchtown, where all the artists grew up in Trenchtown, and including myself and Bob Marley and a lot of people, Joe Higgs, Isa Wilson, Alton Ellis, a lot of people. So I just heard they have this festival thing, so people can sing song about, you know, anything want to sing about. But if the song is good, they use it in the festival. So I did Bam Bam and I won that thing.
So you live.
One of Toots' finest moments is the track 5446, That's My Number, first released in 1968 and a seminal single. For many people in Europe, it was the first time they'd ever heard reggae music. The title comes from when Toots was arrested for possession of marijuana and he was jailed for 9 months. 5446 was actually his prison number, although Toots has always claimed he was framed by police.
So I win that song, festival song. And after winning the festival song, it was like politics, because I had 21 number one record on the two station. And I just come from the country and devour all those things. And people that born in Kingston, good singers, they never got that, the amount of number one that I got. So it's kind of, politics came in, and those years was a lot of politics, artists went against each other and, you know, jealous and all those things. Because I got this call from England, I think it was Chris Blackwell, was going to give me the first UK tour.
Uh-huh.
And they sent certain artists in my space and held me back. I wouldn't call it prison, because they allowed me to get my meal from my home 3 times a day, and it wasn't that far from my home, and I get my own clothes to wear.
Okay.
And I get my shoes. I don't work.
But you got a good song out of it.
Yeah, well, I wrote a song in there. It's a place called Richmond, not too far from home, and they keep me there in confinement. About 8 months or 12 months, I don't remember. 12 months by just writing songs. They give me my guitar, just keep writing songs, and, you know, and then I wrote the song 5446. People believe it was my bike number, but I used to ride bike those years. But it wasn't my number of my bike. It was no prison number, because I never wear prison clothes. I have my own clothes. So people believe I, you know. But I just create music, you know, and I get the songs. And as I come out, as they let me out, I record the song and I reach number one again, 5446.
Stick it up, mister. Hear what I say, sir, yeah. Yeah. Get your hands in the air, sir. Woo. Yeah. Then you will get no hurt, mister. No, no, no. I said it.
Yeah.
When you first came to the UK, was there a certain amount of racism? Did you feel that?
Yeah, there was a racism there. You couldn't go certain places like what you go now, you know. A certain club you cannot go into as a black guy. They will say, Barry, maybe they don't want to sell you anything. So we have to go where we can get served, you know. So it was a problem, but my two friends, we never really worried about it. It's just strange. It's still around now, but not that bad.
What, do you still experience it?
Yeah, sometimes. But your generation, our generation, much have more knowledge to know that we can mix and be friendly and love each other the way or we love ourselves, you know. So that's what God said.
Because you've got, for you, the first time people heard, well, the word reggae, but also the music of reggae, it was your music. Like, it was one of the, you were one of the people that created this world.
Yeah, well.
That's amazing.
The music was there, and no one didn't know what to call it. And I just, in Jamaica, we have a slang. If the girl not looking so good, we call them straighty. And if we're not looking so good, if we're looking raggedy, you're called Strigge. But I think that's where I took it from and named the music. I'm the one who named the music. People used to call it Blue Beat and Boogie Beat and all kind of names. And I just say, let's do the reggae. And I record this song. It's a little song. Never really sound interested, but I record it, and people told me that the song that they listen to let them know that our music called reggae. So I'm the one who coined the word reggae and put it in there.
That's a pretty cool achievement. That's pretty cool.
Yeah, it's cool. I never knew it would take off like this. Never know it at all. But so I didn't really copyright it. But I think I can still do it if I want to.
Yeah, now just get some money from it.
Yeah.
This is the first time with me, Matt Everett, and that was Do the Reggae by the Maytals, written by and featuring on vocals my guest this week, Toot Hibbert, recorded in 1968. And that was the first song to use the word reggae in its lyrics.
Six Music, now on BBC Sound.
Six Music.
I'm Matt Everett, and this is the first time on Six Music where we look at the key first moments in an artist's career. And my guest this week is, from Toots and the Maytals, Toot Hibbert. And that was his classic single, Pressure Drop, a tune from 1968 that's been covered by The Clash, Robert Palmer, Willie Nelson, The Selector, and The Specials. Something I had to ask him about.
Another massive song, Pressure Drop. Just a song that's been covered by so many people, and the British punk scene just attach themselves to that song as well. It's like another legendary tune.
Yeah, and you know that I have a song that covered more than Pressure, like Bam Bam. A lot of people cover that song. Mm. A lot of people in the world, you know. So, but Pressure also, because when I record these songs in those days, we never used to get paid for these songs, you know, so.
What?
Never used to get any pay. Maybe we get 5 shillings, maybe 10 shillings. And I have number one son, and all I get is 14 pence.
What?
Yeah, because those years was pound, shilling, and pence, you see? So the so-called producer, them, they never think of giving us any money. So Pressure Drop, when I asked the guy to give me, if the holiday is coming down and we need money, and he don't give me anything. So I say, I'm going to write this song and say, pressure going to drop on you. That's how that song comes around.
It must have been amazing when you started to tour around the world, and like you supported The Who and stuff like that. When you see your music kind of reaching out, because a Who audience isn't normally your audience,
right?
How was
they never know me, and they never advertise me. But that was a show that actually the people didn't want to see us. They throw things and boy and all them things. But that was the show that I get the most money for live. We got about $25,000 to for all the boys for about 8 minutes. Good pay, good pay. And that was good. I would like to do some more like that. But I paused that now, so. And the Who was my friend, and we went back there by ourselves and cock up the place, man. Everybody, they sorry, they, oh, boy. At the time, I used to sing like, Pressure Drop, Monkey Man.
Big monkey man, aye aye aye, aye aye. They tell me that you're hugging up the big monkey man.
You mentioned it. We have to talk about Monkey Man. We had to talk about Amy Winehouse. You know, because that's sometimes an artist covers a song and you're like, yeah, they haven't really got the spirit. But she, her version, is good.
Yes,
it's a good version.
And I never get to meet her.
Really?
We were going to do more songs together, but she passed. I would like to hear it again. Her version of Monkey Man. I don't remember having it. You know? I just listened to it. And it's been a long time, so I would like to hear, because I just love her a lot, you know?
Yeah, she had a spirit.
Yeah,
she had
a spirit, man.
Yeah.
Sorry that, you know, she's not here.
Talk about your first Grammy, because you got nominated a bunch of times.
Yeah, a lot of times.
Yeah, but for True Love, 2004.
Yeah, the True Love album.
That must have felt good.
Yes, and I've won a lot of Grammys. Because I sang a lot of good songs, so. You know, I don't really care But that one stand out, you know, the tune of a stand out to people.
Yeah, so tell me a bit about how that record...
Well, that record come by... there's a guy that used to produce with me called Richard Feldman. And then we have Willie Nelson on it. He tried to get a lot of people, Bonnie Raitt.
True love is hard to find. I believe true love is hard to find. Take it, leave it online.
You have Jeff Beck. Living in London here. What's his name again? Play guitar and sing. He's my good friend, but I don't remember his name right now.
That's Keith Richards.
Some of the LSG Ethiopians are lost their way. Some of the LSG Ethiopians have gone astray.
Great, very, very, very great people. And then we got a Grammy for that. It was cool, you know?
Yeah, because this is it. Very few people have that body of song. Do you think about it as a gift?
Yeah, it's a God gift. Not from people, but God, you know?
Do you still enjoy it? Do you still get the same?
Yeah, man. Hard work. hard work. I even... tried to start writing songs because I have so many songs that I wrote that hasn't released as yet, you know. But if I see something to write about, I write it. You know, but I have a whole lot of good song to come out. I just released a single about Bob Marley and many was good friends, so the Wicked Song Man is a good song. It called Marley, so...
What was you and Marley, what was your relationship like? Did you...
Very good, like this.
Yeah?
Yes.
Where did you first meet?
I met him when I leave country and go down to Trenchtown, where I met him and some, as I say, some lot of different artists. And then me and him talk a lot. I know he's not around, so I wrote this tribute to him.
Yeah.
He's doing pretty well in streaming, and it soon be released down here too.
We'll be playing it. We'll play it.
You're playing it?
We'll play it.
Good.
They're talking about Marley. They're singing about Marley. They're talking about all right with me.
I think I'm going to, I want to write any more song right now because I have about 3-4 albums to release.
Really?
Yes, but from the early can get deal because people, I don't like what's going on in the world now because they stop do vinyl, which is the best record you can get to buy, you know, vinyl. You can listen to it anytime. Take it up, blow it up, put it on, get the nice vibes. But CD kind of little light and different, yeah.
Yeah, it's not the same.
No.
The warmth.
Not the same, yeah.
Back in the start of your career, record deals didn't really exist. It wasn't really, it wasn't good for the artist in lots of cases,
no, never.
Was it?
You know? They didn't pay artists any money.
Even like Chris Blackwell, not necessarily did the best.
Well, Chris wasn't that bad. Yeah, he's my good friend, though, you know. But yeah, all of these guys from Jamaica, Chris Blackwell is better than them because he, you know, have a little more conscience. And so he came to Jamaica. He grew up in Jamaica, like what I heard, and he did good for reggae music. Mm. Did good for Bob Marley. He never do anything so great for me, but respect him, you know?
Yeah. I do have to talk about, because yeah, there was, in 2013, there was the accident on stage.
Yeah.
I mean, that sounded, you were hit on stage.
Yes, there was a show that I did for the...
Where?
It's in Virginia.
Right.
And it was for the college. And then it was a great show because I did it for free, you know. And some kids, you know, boy, hired and come in with him liquor. And he drank it and he didn't control. So he didn't fling it after me, he didn't throw it after me, he just threw it up. But somehow it was going straight to my drummer. And he just catched me right here.
Right in the top of the head?
Mm-hmm. Not in the top, but right here. So maybe if it was in the top of my head, it would hurt more than that. But it just bleed a lot right here.
Right.
And then I have to cut off my hair and so forth. And, you know, it was an experience. But I didn't really try to hurt the guy, you know. We just, my lawyer just make him do the work for a few, you know, a few weeks. And I even beg for him.
Yeah, because you didn't prosecute him, did you?
No,
you didn't.
Really. I tried to, you know, to be lenient and so forth.
But yeah, it was like you were proper concussed. You were like, you know, it was quite a big injury.
It's a big injury. But what happened is, I don't carry feelings for it. You know? Just cool.
Just move on.
Yeah, move on.
Charlie Cool Man.
You play so many different instruments.
Yeah, I play.
This is the thing. Like, people, I don't think people always know about you, that as well as being a songwriter.
No, people don't know. But I'm the one who play bass, play guitar, play keyboard, I play kick drum, I play harmonica. I play everything, actually, but I'm not master of none.
But did you find out? Because like, if you're not taught, you just must have a feel.
I just self-taught. I don't go to music school, and so I just self-taught from birth. My mother and father, you know, they're musical, singing in church, but you know, that's where I get it from.
Yeah, just had a feeling for
yes,
it.
And I just say, I got to do this, I got to do that, I got to do that.
Yeah,
it happened.
So after this, so you've got UK shows coming over, mm-hmm. and then what's the future hold? The future, are you going to get a rest?
Yeah, I'm going to go home and rest.
But there's still these, like, 3 albums worth of music sitting around
and
waiting.
More than that, because some that I don't finish voice as yet, but music is finished and everything. But I have a studio at home, you know, at my home. Yeah. I start with a little studio when I leave Kingston, when I leave country. I began to sing in a little studio, 2 tracks and 4 tracks. And then I have a little studio at my home. No, I don't want it to be bigger. I just want it to be how I started.
Yeah.
And you have good sound. That's where I record Tribute to Marley.
Yeah.
Yes, where I use that studio to record that song.
What else are you writing about? What else inspires you these days?
Well, you know, people inspired me. People like you.
And, like me?
Yeah. Once you ask me a good question, I can go write a song about it.
Write a song about me. That'd be great.
Yeah. You know? But some of them tell stories and tells history. Mm. So I don't write nonsense. I just try to write that people can understand me, you know. And I, because of the people, where I can really write, because people support me, white people, really. Very important in my career, and they give me means to write more, and they just keep on appreciating, and they give me the vibes, I give them the vibes, and they give me back the vibes, and enough love, man, really. enough love.
It's been a pleasure to speak to you.
Yeah, man, me too. It's really cool, you know.
Thanks, man. Cheers.
I'm going back to sleep now because I'm tired. But you know, it's good to talk to you.
Thank you.
And to answer these questions, very important, and we'll talk again.
We will.
Yeah, man.
Thank you, sir.
Listen.
is BBC Radio 6 Music.
BBC Radio, 6 Music Documentaries.
Hello, I'm Sean Rowley, and welcome to All Back to Mine, the show that visits the home and record collection of some of the world's biggest music stars. This week it's the turn of Noel Gallagher from Oasis. Now, you may have imagined Noel's record collection wouldn't stretch much further than the Beatles, and a little bit more Beatles. Well, you'd be wrong. Sit back, prepare yourself for a big musical surprise. But a little word of warning. Noel does enjoy entertaining his guests as well as playing music. And he does know his own taste. And if you dare to disagree, the evening might go horribly, horribly wrong.
Hello?
Noel, it's Sean.
All right, Sean. Just come up to the front.
OK, mate.
See you in a bit.